This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This was a top five worst game of the Brian Kelly era. In fact, you can make a case that this was worse than some actual blowout losses. Tennessee in 2022 actually made some sense, right? That was a good team. I don't mind losing to good teams. I just want us to play well. LSU played abysmally. So defensively, let's start with something positive here. And the Labor Therapy Zion Imaging 360 postgame show is that we shut them down. Monster Delane, absolutely incredible. And then, of course, Patrick Payton was just dominating from start to finish, starting to become one of the best defensive ends in the entire Southeastern Conference. Linebacker play was fine. A few too many missed tackles, but you know, that group is just playing really well right now. And, you know, defensively, tip of the hat to them. That's a really bad offense. That might be the worst offense we have played, at least since New Mexico a few years ago. But look, the bottom line is this was a horrid game on offense, and this was a bad special teams game. We'll get to the special teams aspect of it a little bit later. So let's start with the single most concerning thing, and that was the offensive line. They were bad in this game. They just downright bad. And we said it last week after what happened in Clemson. I said in the film study, we were fine. Tonight, we were bad. And the thing you have to keep in mind, the red flag from the Clemson game, 5.1 yards per play is not great. College football playoff teams get 6. Average time to throw was 2.2 seconds. That means we were getting the football out quick. And our ADOT was 4, which is really small. So tonight, when we decided to run a more traditional offense, what we normally do, we fell apart. Now, the biggest negative, as is always the case with these rent-a-wins, are the injuries. You lose 2 very critical players in Braylon Moore and Tre'Davious Green. Do we win versus Clemson without those two? No. In particular, Braylon Moore. We do not beat Clemson if we do not have Braylon Moore. Because you saw what actually happened when Braylon Moore was out of the game. And we put one of the worst starters in LSU history in the game, in DJ Chester. Now, he's a good backup. He is a good fallback plan. But I don't want to get to the fallback plan. Because the problem with DJ Chester isn't necessarily DJ Chester. It's that our guards next to them aren't the absolute best. I thought Thompson was fine in this game. Mbenga had a tough game. We'll see what the PFF grades say. And then, of course, Weston Davis was brutal at right tackle tonight. And Tyree Adams was fine. I don't think any one of them actually had a good game. So the only offensive lineman who had a really, really good grade last week goes out. And you see, it's the actual inverse of what our offensive line was last year. We had 4 draft picks and a center who really struggled. This year, it's the opposite. We're having 4 offensive linemen who are struggling and a center who's really good. He goes out second play of the game, and we're in a lot of trouble. We were in a lot of trouble. So offensive line was, to me, abysmal. and questions need to be answered. It's unacceptable what happened tonight. It really is. Louisiana Tech is a god-awful team. We had the best Louisiana Tech expert on the planet Thursday night, and he said the final score was going to be like 35-0. Now, we put up, 23 points? 23? Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Now, let's talk about Garrett. This was a borderline unwatchable game from Garrett Nussmeier. It really was that bad. And this is coming from someone that has been the Garrett Nussmeier defender. The Berrien Brown interception is very concerning because the goal ball accuracy last year from Garrett was not great. It really was not that great. And look, some of the best quarterbacks of all time have issues with goal ball accuracy, most notably Patrick Mahomes over this last year and a half or so. But it was bad. I mean, that interception was tough. He also got away with a few when I thought there were simpler throws out there. I do like the fact that Garrett takes chances in these run-a-wins. It's always good to see what you can get away with and what you can't get away with. The problem is, on some of these you get away with, you're not going to get away with it when you play better teams. There was that Berrien Brown dig that barely got through. The safety mistimed it. That's probably getting picked off by a better defensive back, if not now, in the college football playoff versus Caleb Downs with the national championship on the line. It was tough. It really was a tough game from Garrett, and he would probably be the first person to tell you that. With that said, the drops were critical, absolutely critical. Berrien had a bad one. Xavion had one, but it was after a big hit. Aaron has got to start making some of these tough touchdown catches. Every single end-zone drop that Aaron has had over the last 2 years makes some type of sense, right? They're not easy catches. But, y'all, this is a red zone where everything is difficult. You've got to start making some of these catches. It's just been too many of these that we need our best wide receiver to make. And now we're probably not going to have our best red zone option next week versus Florida and Tre'Davious Green. And think about it this way. Our red zone offense has mostly been throw it up to a 6'7 guy and live with the results. How many offenses in all of college football can do that? Every single one of them. I would guess 90% of starters can throw a jump ball touchdown to Tre'Davious Green. So this was a bad game from Garrett, especially for his standards, especially if we're thinking about him in New York City. He's not out of the Heisman race. He's still 2-0. I'm not going to say it's like it was Anthony Jennings level atrocity or Brandon Harris or something like that. But when you factor in the standard, it was not great. I will say, though, this offensive environment is tough to deal with, and the play calling wasn't great. It was not great tonight. And I really do think Tre'Davious Green got hurt on the play that you hear me talk about all the time. When we get in pistol, and the other team knows we're probably going to run an outside handoff, whether it's outside zone or stretch, whatever you want to call it, you are going to have defenses tee off on your asses. And that's what happened to Tre'Davious Green. It got folded up. So this was probably the worst offensive outing of the Brian Kelly era, okay? At least since 2022 Arkansas, where we were also able to win that game. But, man, it was tough. It was tough. Now, once again, there were some positives. Xavion had himself a big game. He had a lot of explosives. But he also fumbled once that, lucky enough, wasn't recovered. The Louisiana Tech player bobbled it before it going out of bounds. Had a drop in the red zone that we mentioned. That was a tough catch. You'd like to see Xavion make that play. It was very similar to the Texas A&M drop where he got hit and he wasn't able to hold on to it. And then he also muffed a punt. So ball security is going to be a big deal. Berrien's ball security needs to be better. it was good to see Nick Anderson get his first touchdown. His role on this team will increase now that Trey is out for next week. And then, of course, Barrett Sharpe wasn't really involved tonight. So there you go. Now, we talk about the running backs. I thought Caden was fine. It did seem he was a little worn down from the Clemson game. That was a very tough game where he did a bunch of incredible stuff. The Harlan Berry run at the end of the game was special. I don't care if the defense was tired. That was a ridiculous piece of running. So we'll see that once again, the defense was tired and it's not a great defense. But Harlan, really, really, really good stuff on that run. But, y'all, this offensive line is in a lot of trouble. It is in a lot of trouble. And you don't want to make any bold proclamation after one tough game.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
But really, it's been one and a half tough games. Peter Woods kind of threw us around last week. And what happened was we were able to scrap and claw a few of those Peter Woods plays that he was about to make. So last week, Peter Woods threw Josh Thompson to the side. Then Caleb Jackson picked up the block. Weston Davis got some help on a Donovan Green block, and that's what got Caden in for his rushing touchdown. So, you know, we were pushed around some, but they were obviously better in that game than this game. But you have to factor in, we were throwing a lot more screens and gadgety kind of stuff. We actually tried to run our offense, and maybe we just need to become a screen offense. I do SEC breakdowns on all these different offenses. Georgia's offense is just screens right now. A good bit of it is just pitch and catch, quick screen. Their offensive line is atrocious right now. Georgia annually has great offensive lines. They were hurt last year, but the 2 years prior, they were the best offensive line in the SEC. And now, they're not good. So what are they doing? They're just playing quick game. I understand we want to get vertical. I don't know if we have the guys to get vertical. But I will say, and for those that watch a halftime stream that went into the third and the fourth quarter, Garrett missed some vertical shots that were there. One was dropped by Berrien, but I mean, it was just a clunky, clunky, clunky effort. You do excuse it because we did spend so much time on Clemson. If there's ever been a definition of a look-ahead game, it was this one right here. So there you go. Okay. Now, we're going to take as many comments as we possibly can. I don't know if this is going to be an all-nighter live stream. I don't mind if it is, though. We can go all night. A guy by the name of Luther made a song about that once. So there you go. Let's go to James. Timing was off in the offense. Nuss had good throws that were dropped. Now lots of drops. What I think will happen, I think on my rewatch, I will be probably a little bit more sympathetic to Nuss because the drops were what they were tonight. I do think a very underrated drop was the Kyle Parker drop in the end zone. That one was bad. A total mistiming of a jump. And one hallmark of LSU wide receivers, they have been so good at those top shelf throws over the middle. From Terrace Marshall to Jamar Chase, BTJ is probably the best I've ever seen at that. Now still in the NFL. Throw that ball high as you can, where no overhang linebackers or safeties can get it. Kyle, that was one of the worst leaps I've ever seen. He jumped too early, and he wasn't really close to the ball. It should have easily been a touchdown. It was a perfect throw from Garrett. And those things begin to catch up to you mentally as a QB. So I do think when I rewatch this game, I won't be as hard on Nuss as I was early in this live stream. And I wouldn't, if I were to scale this on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like Joe Burrow versus Clemson and 1 being, Stephen Rivers, I would say this was probably a 3.5, probably. Maybe a little better or worse if you want to calibrate for how good he is. Okay. Let's go to Pops. This is actually a really good point from Pops. This was a different defensive front, a 3-3-5. Yes, and we won't play a lot of 3-3-5s. The last 3-3-5 I think we played at the P4 level was Mississippi State in the Zach Arnett defense. So, yes, I guess that's it. I also do think, whether or not we want to admit it, if we would have prepared too much for a 3-3-5 and then gone back and played Florida next week, which is not that, it would have been a lot. So, I don't know. Looks like Mississippi State's getting ready to beat Arizona State. Okay. So let's take a look at these stats once again provided by LSUSports.net, thanks to our friends at LaboardTherapy.com. Okay. LSU holding Louisiana Tech to 2.9 yards per play. Through two games, LSU has given up a total of 17 points through two games. It's pretty good. It's pretty daggum good. Kudos to Blake Baker. I like the fact that Blake did get a little exotic tonight. We weren't just stagnant and just out-athleting people. We also had some really good calls. LSU secondary played really well, but these are the worst quarterbacks we'll play all year. 15 to 26, 96 yards, one touchdown. And then we get to the yard-per-play discrepancy. Normally, when you have a yard-per-play discrepancy of 2, you can see to your far right, 4.9 to 2.9, you would see that you dominated the game, which LSU did technically dominate the game. They did control the game. But I don't think any one of us thought it was good. Caden Durham, 13 carries, 29 yards, with a long of 5 yards. Never, ever, ever should Caden Durham have a long of 5 yards on any run. He's too good. So what does that tell you? The calls are bad. It's impossible for Caden Durham to ever play a game where he got 13 touches and only 29 yards. But I do think he was a little gassed from last week. LSU did dominate time of possession. That was expected, 36 to 24. Actually closer to 37 to 23. One thing that's interesting, look at this bottom number. And once again, we ran more plays, so that's part of it. But they had more tackles for loss than us. 3 more tackles for loss and 1 more sack. But then again, of course, they ran 53 plays to our 75. Very interesting. Let's take a look at the defensive stats. It was the other weeks who led the team in tackles, 10 total tackles, tackle for loss, so shout out to you, West. Devon Keyes also racked up 9 tackles. Good to see you doing that, Devon Keyes. Tough night for Ashton Stamps. Whoa. Whoa. So there you go. Now we'll get to your comments. All right. I've yapped for 20 minutes. I've been yapping for the last 2.5 hours. A bad offensive line isn't an excuse, everyone. So that's the thing, okay? In football, you can get around some bad stuff. You really can. What you can't work around, though, is multiple bad things. So you have the play calling. You have the offensive line play. Then your best tight end gets hurt. Your best offensive lineman gets hurt. Some heavy legs mixed in there. And my goodness gracious. If I get another text asking where Chris Hilton is, I don't know. You tell me. Turtle shaves shells. Says not the apocalypse, just another 9-3 or 8-4 regular season. Okay. So let's take a look at this. I don't know the latest on the South Carolina score. I would guess that they eventually came back and started rolling them. They did. Alabama won it 73-0. Thankfully, we don't play Tennessee this year. Good Lord. Arkansas looked okay today. But I just don't know. Like, I guarantee you, every single streamer is saying something about their team like this. Georgia had very similar issues to this, okay? They really did. And Oklahoma just seals it on a 4th-and-1 stop. What a big win for the Sooners. They're going to jolt up these, right? They'll probably be inside the top 10 now. That's a big dub. Yeah, Chris Hilton played. Let's go to Dustin with the Chelsea logo. I don't know if I can answer a Chelsea logo for a first-timer. I'm biased towards Nuss. That boot girl. Interesting. When the first thing I said in this post-game show was that he was bad. Garrett is still better than every quarterback in the SEC. I'm not going to let one game just take it away. Because every SEC quarterback has had a good game or a bad game or two bad games. Unless you want to say to my face that Bo Perbula or what's his name? Joey Aguilar. Do you think those two are the best? Is that where we are? Let's go to Van. Top super chatter of the evening, Mr. Van Lathan, Mr. Ringer Tailgate. Do we suck? Okay. Van, thank you for your generosity. So if, and we'll do this, next week we will not be able to do this. We will do this for every game outside of Florida and Texas A&M. Okay. So every LSU game, we will do an extended halftime show. Won't do it for Florida, won't do it for Texas A&M. We'll do it for every other one. Where I actually do break down film during the games. So you can ask Carvish, you can ask a few other people. It worked out well tonight, okay? And the answer to that question, Van, is probably. To a certain extent. Because every team in the SEC sucks right now. Every team. The only team who has played lights-out football for 4 total halves is Tennessee. They're the only team. The only team in the SEC that could say that. That's it. No one can even come close to really saying that. Oklahoma had the best win this weekend of any SEC team. They couldn't run last week. Their offensive line got brutally beaten. By Illinois State. So, do we suck? The answer is everybody in the SEC sucks to a certain extent. Everybody does. And what makes it really uneven is every team has played one really good Power Four team, and every team has also played bad. Ass. Dookie water. Hot dog water. However you want to say it. Now, do we suck? This is the problem if Braylon Moore is out. I shared this stat during the halftime show, and I really want you to fully comprehend what I'm about to say, okay? So PFF, Pro Football Focus, has been grading college football players individually since 2014, okay? So think about 2014 to where we are now in 2024. And let's talk about every single LSU player that has played during that time period for LSU. And let's filter all of those players to where we're only talking about the ones that played at least 400 snaps. So we're talking about players that had a huge impact on the team's outcome. And this is going back to the Les Miles era. This includes the Ed Orgeron era. This includes the Brian Kelly era. So roughly 14 players on offense and defense play at least 400 snaps. The two worst players during that time period, both were on the team last year, both played on the same position, and both were playing on that same position tonight. And that's DJ Chester and Paul Mabin.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Now, I feel in particular bad for Paul because he was thrust into action in a tough spot when he thought he really wasn't going to play at all. So his poor grades are a little bit more understandable, but you also see what actually happened. And DJ Chester is kind of sort of the same thing. We never benched him. And think about it this way. We had 900 snaps of DJ Chester on the field, touching the ball every single snap. Was Nuss bad tonight? Sure. Were our running backs all that great tonight? Probably not. Were the drops there? Sure. But make no mistake about it. A lot of tonight was Braylon Moore going out. It really is that big of a deal. It really is that big of a deal. Okay? There was a really good study done on this in the NFL where an analytical mind by the name of Teej, T-E-J, it's a great follow. He was at Pro Football Focus. I think he's with Sumar Sports now. Either way, what he found was bad center play affects the offensive line more than anything else. It affects the offensive line more than elite left tackle play or elite right guard play. If you don't have a good center, you're okay. But if you have a bad center, you're dealing with a lot of offensive struggles, especially when the play caller isn't Steve Sarkisian. You can work around it if you have an elite play caller who is accustomed and is used to finding answers. But to defend Chester and Mbenga. They probably didn't think that they were going to play together as much as they did tonight. The other offensive lineman didn't play all that great. Weston Davis had a tough night in particular. But the play calling sequencing is what really stinks. And to Van's point, do we suck? The answer is probably not, because if your defense is the best defense in college football, which is the case right now, LSU's defense is probably the best defense in college football, not named Ohio State. It's one of those two. Oklahoma has a case too with R. Mason Thomas. He's an absolute monster. But if Tre'Davious Green and Braylon Moore aren't on our offense, we're probably not that good of a team. We're probably 9-3. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, thank you for all your support. The play calling was so uninspired, almost as disappointing as the execution. Okay. This is where I'm going to defend Sloan just a little bit. With some of this, let's not burn anything crazy for the future game. Sure. No, sure. But I want to break down some of the other SEC teams just to let you know that it's not just us, okay? Oklahoma did not look good on tape last week. Material looked okay, but like a lot of these teams have not looked all that great in rental wins. If Marshall knew what a zone read was, that Georgia game is probably a little bit more interesting. But what do I know? So yeah, I think everybody kind of sucks. That's the portal, because everybody now has more good players to go around. And there's also so many new players on so many new teams. They're still trying to feel everything out. Now, obviously, a big piece to this equation is Florida losing tonight. Does that make me feel better about LSU and Florida next week? Now, why am I sparkling? I have no idea. I feel like it was the Holy Spirit filling me up with this next take. I actually feel worse. Florida's going to come out pissed off. Florida's going to come out confident that they beat us last year. They beat us in the explosive play battle. Last year we ran 90-plus plays. Florida ran 45. Man. To use a pun, they put us through the ringer. But truth be told, they dominated the line of scrimmage. They deserve to win that game. And if you thought Louisiana Tech's future insurance salesman, future U-Haul driving, future hibachi servers, if you thought that defensive line is going to tore our ass up tonight, imagine what Caleb Banks is going to do to us next week. Imagine what Tyreek Sapp is going to do to us next week. That Florida player spat in the USF's player's face mask, Jalen Carter style tonight. That's how Florida, partially why Florida lost tonight. Y'all, it is a problem that we have to deal with next week. Is Garrett Nussmeier and Caden Durham and Barry and Brown and Xavion Thomas, are they good enough to find a way to get it done? Yes. Now, why is that? Well, DJ Lagway's not playing well. The only problem is DJ Lagway's best game was against us last year. However, DJ Lagway's best game last year had a lot to do with Ashton Stamps playing the worst game of his career. Honestly, it really was a lot of that. We have Mansoor Delane. Ashton Stamps, Mansoor Delane. That's a gap. It's a huge gap. Massive gap. So take that for what it's worth. And if we were to look at that gap, I don't really know how to, it's a chasm. If you're to like compare looks in terms of gaps, it's going from Jar Jar Binks to Rosario Dawson. I mean, that's how big of a gap it is. That's how big of a deal Mansoor Delane is in this matchup. Florida's receivers aren't that great. Eugene Wilson's talented. I'm going to be honest. I've not really watched Florida a whole lot. I didn't care what they did versus LIU. It's not a team I really cover a whole lot in the Power Hour SEC atmosphere. So I'm really going to break down Lagway and see what the issues are. One thing in our favor, though, is that Jack Pyburn is on our team. Jakeem Jackson is on our team. So we do have some intel, I think, if that really does matter. I don't know. Gun-toting redneck. I didn't know my next-door neighbor's cousin was in here. Kidding. Shout-out to all the gun-toting rednecks out there. Good to see you. The Yosemite Sams out there. The Elmer Fudds out there. Are we prisoners of the moment? Maybe. I think partially that's the case. Oh, Dustin. No, don't come in here with that. That's for later. I don't want to get into that. 9-3 if we beat Florida. I was one of those people. I think if you're basing it based on who had the best win, it was LSU. But here's another way to describe it. Which position groups are LSU good at and which position groups are LSU not good at? Okay, break that down. We are terrible on the offensive line. We're probably still okay at tight end for the time being. Wide receiver, let's have an honest conversation about wide receiver. Just an honest one, because we are wide receiver you, okay? This is a very good group. This is not an elite group. This is a very, 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 very good group. I don't know if it's elite. Of course, when you think elite, you think BTJ, Malik Nabers, but I would say that's beyond elite. Jamar, Justin, Odell, Jarvis. I think that's beyond elite. So even if you take those outlier examples, if you were to scale it, if 5 was elite, LSU's probably a 4. Tonight they were a 3.5 to 3, but they're probably a 4 out of 5. But still, they're still very good. Garrett is still good. I don't think anyone in here could say he's bad. Defensive line. Very, very, very good. Linebacker. Very, very, very good. Secondary. Elite. It's a very good secondary. So, we're not great at a very critical position. Play calling is really good on one side of the ball. The other side of the ball has been good for 1 week and not good for the other. So to gun-toting redneck's point, maybe we aren't as bad as we think we are. Okay? Andy wants to get into some recruiting. He said it's not a good performance with Blaine Bradford at the game. I will tell you this, and checking to see if Brian Kelly's at the podium yet. recruits don't care about the outcomes of the game as much as you probably think they do. I'm serious. Like, could it sway one recruit's mind? Like, I always go back to the, to use another safety, Javian Toviano, right? Now, he's not probably on Blaine Bradford's level, but he was close. He was a top 100 defensive back. And look, Javian Toviano, I go back to the video of him watching the Alabama game, 2022. And if you watch that unfold, how could you say, I'm not going to LSU? It's hard. It's really, really, really hard. So if that's the case, then why are we considering if a really bad game would make Blaine Bradford not come here? Yeah, I don't know. Even if we would have won, it wouldn't have been as big of a light show as, you know, a 2019 game versus Northwestern, if you will. So, there you go. What's up, Greg? Good to see you. Sibley sneaking in. Okay. There you go. Two or three not good as one. The Kenny Chesney super chatter. I'm down to... Actually, no, I'm not singing Kenny Chesney. I'm not really that big of a Kenny Chesney fan. I think that's why I always super chat that. It's only half... No, that's not Kenny Chesney. That's not even close. No, my brain is fried. I've been up since 5:30. All right. Let's go to Womp. He says, we just got to get in the playoff. I don't really care how we do it. All right. All right. Let me get this debate going here. Okay. Would it be nice to get to a playoff? Yes. But there is a problem when you think of results as just in results. Maybe that is the case. Maybe this is just the NFL where you just got to find a way and just get in the daggum thing. Maybe it is just that. Maybe I'm the one wrong about this. But I think that line of logic can be very dangerous because at LSU, when the dust is settled, or is it the dusk? Either way, we're not going to care about just making it to the playoff. We're LSU, not Penn State. Penn State should be happy they made a semifinal. We're not Boise State. They're happy to be there. We are there to win it, even though we've not been to a playoff since 2019. If we've only been to one playoff in the entire playoff era. So I understand our thirst. We have got playoff blue balls, and we want to release all that energy. I get it. I totally get it. But that mentality can really hurt you in the long run. Because you should always worry about just bettering yourself. What could we do to be a better football team? Now, to your point, you're all right. If we get there, who knows what happens? Just got to go on a run. You're right about that. You're all right about that. Where I would push back, though, is that Ohio State team at the end of the year looked like a pretty immaculate team, right? So it's not just about getting on a run. You got to be good. Texas was a damn good team last year. They got pushed around. Yeah, you can come party. Come on. Let's go to James. When was the last time a pocket passer quarterback won a national championship? This is an interesting question. Let's discuss. So, you know, the thing about Garrett being a pocket quarterback is this was one of his more egregious non-scramble games I can remember. And that is really saying something. There were two really egregious non-scrambles in this game. Downright, borderline, egregious. I mean, just bad. So one was a rollout to the left that he forced to Chris Hilton in the end zone. I have no idea why he threw it. It wasn't even the best receiver to throw to on the run. But he went for it. And as great as Garrett to Chris has been, it's mostly been unfruitful efforts. And most of Garrett and Chris's connections have been at the end of the season in bowl games versus an Oklahoma team that didn't really care to be there anymore. Garrett to Chris has been a low percentage play. It's worth the throws, though, because we did throw or we did draw a pass interference flag. And on top of that, we did also We also did have a few opportunities to hit some other deep balls, is what I was going to say. But the truth is, Garrett to Chris hasn't been that great of a connection. And when it does hit, it hits big. But still, on that play, if Garrett would have just scrambled, we got a fresh set of downs. And I understand wanting to drive the football down the field. But as much as we blame the LSU offensive line, it is harder to play this position when you don't have the threat of mobility at quarterback. And think about it this way. Most offensive linemen, when they go through the ranks, even in high school, with quarterbacks that are more pocket-style quarterbacks, they still do scramble a lot, right? They still do take off and go. The fact that Garrett never does it, and he did last week, but you know those plays were big when he actually took off and run. That play tonight versus Louisiana Tech was very irresponsible. Because when you think about a QB scramble, oftentimes a QB scramble is only going to result in something positive, right? If you're rolling out to your left side and you're throwing a low percentage ball to Chris Hilton, you not only need the ball to be thrown well, you also need the ball to be caught. The ball could also be intercepted, so the rate of a turnover goes up. When you scramble, even if you're not that fast, guess what? You're probably picking up positive yardage. In that case, it was a clear 10 yards, clear to pick up a first down. And that's why like stats like QBR love QB scramblers. They really do. I'm telling you, Jaden in his first year at LSU, go back and look at his QBRs. They were actually really good. He had a few bad QBR games. But even in some games where we considered where he would miss wide open touchdowns, he would still run for 10, 15 yards at a time. It's still a positive play in the minds of the models, if you will. So he missed that scramble. And then the last sack he took, where the pocket was really good, Paul Mbenga had a great block. Everybody had a great block. And he had four different guys open. And I don't mind that he missed three of the guys. I'd say four different guys open. He had three different guys open up. Bauer Sharper on the check down, Barry and Brown on the go up the hash, and then on the deep over, he had Nick. He missed all of them. But he still had an opportunity in a really good pocket to squirt out and scramble, and he would have picked up quite a few yards, but he tripped on his own feet. I understand that's not really his game. So to the pocket quarterback thing, yeah, most college quarterbacks have some mobility. That's why the word some is very important. Hey, what's up, P-Sacks? Known you for a while. Classic trap game after a big one. Yeah, I think that's a fair way of looking at it. I do. I think out of any trap game, especially in a revenge game versus Florida next week, it's very interesting. Appreciate you guys. Okay? Now, coming up next, where should LSU make moves? The answer might shock you.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LabordTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at labordtherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's labordetherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
It's Power Hour LSU.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply. Carter is the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter is the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter is the power. LSU with Carter.
Let's go. Hour number two of the postgame show brought to you by Labor Therapy and our friends at Fast Draft Fantasy. Sign up now. Promo code Carter for a deposit match bonus up to $50. Just to update you on some scores, Ole Miss found a way to get it done. It was a little bit of an ugly one here. Kentucky jumped out to a 10-0 lead, as you can see. But Lane Kiffin found a way to get it done. Austin Simmons, not so great tonight, 13-24, 235, zero tutties, and two INTs. How about that? Don't forget Ole Miss is also around the corner. So LSU will play the Florida Gators. It will be a night game. Then they will play Southeastern, the Fighting Hammond Lions. True road test at Ole Miss. How about that? Okay. So let's talk about this roster. Thought it was interesting at the end that some true freshman defensive tackles played over some more experienced guys. Brandon Brown was one of them. Walter Mathis also had a really good play. Kind of interested to see more from number 91. He's got some real juice. He's not the biggest guy in the world. I've always been a big Brandon Brown guy. That was actually my favorite defensive tackle out of that group. It's very, very fascinating. We do go to the actual roster here. Let's go down to the offensive line. Is there anyone on this team that you could think of that could play right now? And then we get to number 57, Carius Kern. That's the name a lot of you are staring at. A guy that we hyped up quite a bit. A guy that got quite a few first-team reps. And, you know, he's not played a snap yet. At least I don't think he's played a snap. I need to go look at the PFF data to see if there's any special teams reps mixed in there. But, you know, you always think about the redshirt thing. You don't want to just burn it just for the sake of burning it. But at the same time, you know, you have Kari Lee. He was a three-star guy. He's going into, this is year three for him, I believe. Ori Williams, also a former three-star. Can he give you something at 6'8", 335? Ethan Calloway at 6'7", 305? It's interesting. You also have Christian Stamps, kind of a walk-on type of player. And then that's it. Those are your options. Brett Bordelon is really young. Bo Bordelon is listed as an offensive lineman, listed as number 67, but he is a blocking tight end. He actually wears number 89 during games. So if he was to play offensive line, he would change jerseys and be number 67. He is a guy that's played a lot of practice reps with the first team, or at least some. And they have Tyler Miller, obviously hurt, or he's been hurt. I don't know if he's fully healthy yet or not. Do any of you feel comfortable about that? I think most of you would feel the most comfortable with Carius Kern. But I don't know. I don't know. You get into the whole redshirt thing. What I would say about that, if the LSU coaching staff thinks Carius Kern gives him the best chance to win at right tackle, let's just say Weston Davis continues to struggle. What I would say to Carius Kern is this. You might not ever have a chance to be on a college football playoff team. This could be it. You're never guaranteed a playoff spot at LSU again. You're probably a projected starter for next year at some position, but you don't know that. Left tackle, still young with Tyree. Let's say Weston Davis takes a leap at right tackle. The only position that's truly older is obviously center, which Carius Kern I don't think would play, and right guard, which some people feel is his best position. But what if you come out and dominate and you never look back? You Emory Jones that thing. It could happen. So, I am down for some Carius Kern reps. I don't know anything as far as how healthy he is. Maybe there's something I'm missing. So, I don't know. You tell me. Maybe I'm missing something here. It's a problem. All right. Messing with me. The injuries are what really hurts because, man. Let's go to Alan S. Here's a problem with this comment. And Alan, you've been rocking with me for how long? Alan, tell me how long you've been watching the channel legitimately. You've been providing some great comments. You really would. You really have. I kind of want you to be a patron. That's how good your comments have been. In fact, Alan, if you sign up for Patreon right now, I'll cover your first month where you guys will get my game grades and all that stuff. Okay? So sometimes it's not just about physical ability. They need to master the playbook. Okay? Here's the problem with that. Is that sometimes the playbook needs to be mastered by the people calling the plays. Okay? This is something that I have learned talking to play callers who have helped me with film studies over the years. Some have worked as position coaches at the highest level. Okay? Some have also worked as offensive coordinators going collegiate level. Is that sometimes you can have too much and you don't actually get good at running something. You don't actually get good at sequencing something. And then what really makes that worse is that you're also not good at it after. You know, to me, areas on the defensive side. He said the biggest thing he struggled with last year was adjusting during games. And he feels like he's been better at that this year. We'll see how that moves along. And to be honest, I kind of agreed with him to a certain degree, but I also defended him because the personnel wasn't what it needed to be. Offensively, though, I think out of everyone that you're frustrated with the most, it's probably Joe Sloan. Probably so. I like Joe. I do. I like him personally. He does work his ass off. I'll give him a lot of credit there. He really wants this to work. Okay? But, you know, I'm not sure if he's mastered his own playbook, his own offense. It's difficult. Some offenses are very different than others. You know, one thing that I defended Arch Manning on, I did my first Arch film study on the SEC channel, is that Sark runs a lot of deep stuff. And he has been running a lot of deep stuff with Arch at quarterback since his first start versus ULM. Okay. Okay, so this happens. So I'll do this, Kyle. I'll answer your fantasy question in the middle of all this LSU football discussion if you super chat or join the Patreon. Every patron, I answer all their fantasy questions. Am I a good fantasy player? I'm okay. I've done well in some big tournaments, but Sibley's right. You know, as high as I am on Blake Baker, Monsieur Delane makes a lot of things look better. Patrick Payton makes a lot of things look better. Jack Pyburn makes a lot of things look better. Let's go to James. Thoughts on Colin Hurley? I don't know. I was hoping to see him tonight. I do think it would have been better to play him over Van Buren because of the redshirt situation involving both of them. But, you know. Here's a good point from Sibs. You know, as much as I am an end results guy, because if we played USF tonight, they probably would have beat us. Now, our game plan would have been drastically different. I do think, okay, I will say this. I understand that LSU knew what they were up against tonight, which was a bad team that was never going to beat you. They are never going to score on you if their starters remained on the field. And we were still basically in standard downs and standard time. Okay. The win probability for LSU when that last Louisiana Tech touchdown happened was probably 99% and above. We're never losing that game. So, with that in mind, it makes a little bit of a sense that this was a letdown spot. I do think the offense would have played better, though. I really do think so. I think most of us do. Everybody, welcome M. Cortman to the channel. I feel like I'm wearing down, but I'm glad you're enjoying the show. So just to give you a little behind the scenes, I called a high school football game last night, DJ'd a 5K this morning, 4 film studies later, and a few live streams were here. So if I'm not normal self, that's it. Does Sloan ever exploit an opponent's weakness last week? You know, it wasn't necessarily a Clemson weakness, but he took away their strength, which was their defensive line. So hopefully that answers your question. I won't go through all the different things they did. I will say, imitation is the best form of flattery. Steve Sarkisian ran one of our screens today versus San Jose State. Now, did this screen always exist before us? Yes. But Sark is oftentimes known for taking good plays from others and running it himself. I've seen so many offenses take Sark stuff. I saw Andy Reid take some of Sark stuff last year. So there you go. No. Not coaching a high school game. I was calling it, play-by-play calling it. I will say someone last night, this has been stuck in my head all day. Maybe I do sound like this guy. I hope. I wish I was this guy in some degrees. He's a movie star. Okay. He is known for his role in The Hangover. That's his most famous claim. Someone said I sounded like Mike Tyson on the broadcast, talking about my pigeons, literally. Someone commented, and that was probably the highlight of my career. It was not meeting Sir Alex Ferguson. It was not covering a Rose Bowl. It wasn't any of that. It was being compared to Iron Mike. I'll take it. I love play-by-play, though. Not as much as I love PHL. What's up, my Toronto? Did the players overlook this game? Maybe so. I think I see Seth McKay in here. Yeah, dude, that was tough. Good to see you, bro. I'm gonna make sure I answer as many as I can tonight. A lot of frustrated Tigers. It was James at the highlight. Have you ever been compared to Mike Tyson? I don't think that ever was going to happen to me in my career. So there you go. Great live, though, y'all. Really, honestly, great live. This is a good way of looking at it. I do think part of that is true. This is a good stat from, I don't know this guy. I join him every Tuesday night. Southeastern had 128 rushing yards on Louisiana Tech. LSU had 85 before the long barrier run. Let's go to Derek. He says, I don't like Joe Sloan's offense. I'm questioning Brad Davis as well. Okay. I'm actually glad you did super chat this because I did write down on my prep right here to talk about Brad. Okay. It would be redundant to say Brad Davis is a good recruiter because you guys know that already. Our recruiting on the offensive line has never been this good. Now, it started with Will Campbell and Emory Jones, and those guys are probably always going to LSU, but Brad did have relationships with both of them in Arkansas beforehand. So Brad's an elite recruiter. Okay. I've spoken to players that have played for him. I've spoken to other coaches and writers that are on the beat. Not just the LSU beat, but just recruiting beat. Brad is a wonderful people person. That's why he was the only returnee of the prior staff to this staff. That's why he was picked as the interim coach. There was a lot that needed to be done, and it's worked out mostly. Okay, now, take this with a grain of salt as far as Brad is concerned. This honestly is, and I do speak to some people that are really in the know and have done things, okay? It's kind of impossible for me to have, you know, this level of football or a good level of football knowledge for thousands of people to watch my film studies for multiple teams, okay? So all of that aside, this is just someone that I follow on Twitter that is totally anonymous but is extremely good at offensive line profiles, okay? He was the first to point out a guy by the name of Arman Mimbu, who was the second offensive tackle selected in the NFL draft. He was the first to really point out that he could be a Pro Bowl offensive tackle, okay? And just out of nowhere, he randomly tweeted how he does not like the way Brad coaches our guys. Just unprovoked, just, it wasn't even like part of a Will Campbell breakdown. He was like, this was just bothering me. And, you know, I reached out or tried to reach out to get his opinion on it because offensive line technique is not my strength. Honestly, any position technique is really tough. I just understand leverage pretty well. But there's all different types of ways of breaking down offensive line play. Do you catch blocks? How's your pad level? Do you have any false steps? That's one thing that I think a lot of people don't quite understand is the footwork. There's so much, you know, go follow like guys like Duke Merriweather. If you really want to get down into the weeds, it does get boring. If you really want to get down to it, go listen to Toronto Armstead talk about it. You can get down into a rabbit hole. It's very difficult. But it just shocked me. It was just out of nowhere. And he said that he feels we catch blocks. And when you watch close enough, you don't really need to know a whole lot about offensive line play. You can see it. It really does begin to show itself. Now, does that mean Brad can't get better? Does that mean our guys can't get better? I don't know. I don't know. It's really hard to say. I do Oklahoma film studies for the SEC channel, and the most criticized coach in the SEC, offensive line coach-wise, was Bill Bindabow of Oklahoma. And he is universally known as the best offensive line coach in the SEC. And he had a bad year. I wonder how they blocked a Michigan front tonight. They lost all their elite players, but it's still a good front. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, I guess your criticism of Brad is fair. I would say it's fair. The problem with that, Derek, is sometimes that really doesn't matter because those kids do play hard for them. One thing I will say is, like, are there times where you feel the players for LSU are questioning their own abilities and their beliefs? Yes. But I don't think I've ever necessarily seen them not play hard or give up. I'm serious. Like, maybe I'm wrong on that, and they are the only ones that can really answer that. But, yeah. Now, the Joe Sloan criticism is definitely warranted. The reason why it's really warranted is because if the LSU offensive coordinator job opened up, there are a lot of people who would take it. And I do have a list that I would heavily consider if I was LSU. Heavily consider. And feel pretty comfortable about, because you, if you were to go get someone, you would need to get someone that's actually really good, actually really experienced, and it would need to be a $2 million move. But because I like Sloan and he's our guy now, I like Sloan personally. I don't really like the production that we saw tonight. I'll keep those names to myself. But there are quite a few. Some of them have just re-signed extensions, so it's tough. I can't wait to watch these Mississippi State highlights. Facebook must have been listening to me because I have, like, literally I look at Facebook and there's a Mike Tyson card, like a one of one. Okay. I don't have any comments here. I don't want it to get to. Kansas State lost again tonight. Interesting. Am I worried about Ramos? Yeah, another miss tonight. It was short. Okay. It's a good question. Yeah, I don't. It's not like. It's not like Bobby. And I don't think Bobby Petrino would ever take the LSU job, but he's good. Bobby's really good. One thing I will say about Brian Kelly, okay, is that the operation needs to be cleaner. This has been an issue since 2022. Okay. Since 2022, has LSU been a bad team? No. But we have been clunky. A lot of things have been clunky. I got something caught in my throat. So we'll take a break. We'll come back right after this.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaBoardTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaBoardTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaBoardTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
All right, I think my voice is starting to give out. But yeah, I will say, and this will be my final thing, it's clunky from our special teams. And when Ramos went out there to kick the field goal, Brian Kelly was yelling at somebody. It's clunky. So there you go. Why can't we run the ball? Oh, cash. Welcome. Thanks to Van, our top super chatter. We do not suck, but we kind of sort of do in some areas. Ryan, thank you for the super chat. Andy, thank you so much. Derek, thank you so much.
Tough.
All right, y'all. We'll see you tomorrow morning with the film study. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight, we are doing ribs. Let's go. Actually, I'm going to eat some of these joyrides. Oh, it's green. So it's green and it picks up on the screen. I didn't plan this. That's so cool. Look at that. That is so interesting how that works. Ryan Trahan, sponsor us. Derek continues. How do we win and it still feels like a loss? That's how you should feel. I mean, did you see the eyes of pretty much every LSU player after the game? It didn't really look great. Oh. There you go. Derek, thank you for the super. Tonight, we are doing, once again, your rides. Let's go.